This is the Press Pass with Chris Ryan.
This is where you hear unique conversations with the best athletes, coaches, and general managers in sports.
I think you appreciate each and every one. Each and every one is special in their own way. And
I play with two guys that they were on top of their game on a nightly basis, and people get spoiled. You know, they saw Manny, they saw David, so they start taking people for granted.
An opportunity for me. I know I need to help my team now, so you know, the better I play, the better it'll be for us.
I think it's one of the most important things is focus and consistency.
This is the Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. The struggling Red Sox get a win at home. Once again, Chris Sale looks solid for the Bo Sox. We'll talk about the Red Sox victory over the Rangers in just a sec, but we'll start with the New England Patriots, who have the region buzzing after 35-0 victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, certainly the talk about this one is about Cam Newton. We spent an entire week where every national talk show, it seemed, was prepared to take the starting quarterback position away from Newton and give it to Mac Jones. Cam was really good. Mac Jones, not as good as he was in the first game, and now the dialogue shifts. You got to love preseason football and the attention that is given to that. And I've always thought with preseason in the NFL, you can take it with a grain of salt. You really can, particularly the team like the Patriots. You know, I do not really believe anything I see during the preseason. Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback for this team. People can talk about getting Mac Jones in there and when's the right time. Cam Newton's going to be the starting quarterback in week one, and nothing in the preseason, in my view, is really going to change that outside of Newton just performing in a catastrophic way. But Mac Jones is going to progress towards being the starting quarterback for the Patriots. You know, I would be surprised if Cam Newton has a long future as the Patriots quarterback. And I think we're kind of going to go on a week-by-week basis with Newton during the regular season as Jones continues to grow. But I like the Patriots all over in this game. I like Damian Harris as a starting running back. I like Matthew Judon, the way he got into the backfield. The Patriots are a team that looks good on paper and is starting to show signs of looking good on the field. But again, don't watch too closely what happens during the preseason. Boston Red Sox are in the crunch time of their year, and what a job by Chris Sale. A game they needed, and a game which Chris Sale stepped up once again. Twice in a row now, Sale has given them performances when they've really needed it, and his first performances in a couple of years. Red Sox win 6-0 over the Rangers, this after being swept by the Yankees. Sale back on the hill, and he spoke post-game.
I'm here to win games. I know, you know, obviously I understand where I'm coming from. You know, the last couple of years I've been, you know, I had surgery on my arm. I'm coming back. I just got out of a rehab assignment. Now I got two starts in the big leagues, but I've never really thought about it like that. Like I have a job here to do, and my job is to win games. And especially given the circumstances, you know, obviously we didn't play well in New York. That, you know, that series got away from us, and you know, to be able to come here and post up and get us on the right track, that's my job. So I'm supposed to do. You know, for me, I've had two games where the run support's been unbelievable. I had, you know, the two big plays in that game where it just kind of stopped everything in its tracks. You know, if that ball gets down and left, I mean, that ball's crushed. You know, JD was right there doing what he had to do to save, you know, save some runs. The landscape of that game is so different if that ball gets down. And the same thing with Kike, you know, turning that double play, him and Bogey up the middle. You know, little things like that helped me out a lot and might not get the attention they deserve, but, you know, I don't succeed without those plays happening.
Chris, have you been able to, you know, exceed what your expectations were in coming back and kind of also meeting the moment, like Sean was talking about? What has that meant to you that everyone was focusing on you coming back as being a turnaround for this team and you've been able to deliver?
Satisfaction is not really a good word for me. To be honest with you, I'm never satisfied. I wanted to go six innings tonight, And if I went six innings tonight, I want to go seven. Appreciation. Yeah, I'm definitely appreciative of where I'm at. But satisfaction can be a slippery slope in sports, and especially in this game. And I choose to kind of stay away from that. Because if you're satisfied, you're not trying to get better. Honestly, like if you're satisfied with something, you're good with it. And if you're good with it, you might put it to the side or not give it the attention it needs. That's not exactly what we do.
Xander Bogaerts, a big home run for the Red Sox. His 20th of the year. A good balanced approach from the Red Sox offense. Here is Xander Bogaerts.
I mean, obviously, we know throughout his whole career, he's kind of been a stopper. You know, obviously, he's been an ace on every step that he's been a part of his beginning career. Definitely been the best pitcher on all the teams that he's been on so far as a, I mean, has a marvelous career. And that's what we kind of needed tonight. You know, set the tone. He did it. Pitched some great shutout innings. As I said, he was a stopper. We had a rough three games over there in New York, but we went back home. And it's a nice way to start a series.
Xander, what stood out to you about the way you guys scored runs tonight? And also, what do you feel Kyle's impact has been so far? And what do you expect from him in terms of lengthening the lineup?
Yeah, what I've noticed is it's pretty hard to get him out. You know, I mean, if he doesn't get a hit, he seems to get a walk. So, I mean, if he continues to do that, you know, we don't need to worry about none of the power numbers and stuff like that. This approach that he's been so far in this short time with us, it's been awesome, man. Taking his walks, just not over swinging, not overdoing it. He's pretty good commanding his strike zone, you know. And, that's something that I didn't know that he was that good at that, but I mean it's been off the charts what he's been doing so far. It's pretty disciplined and swinging the bat so far.
And what do you sense is the overall mood of the group as well? As you mentioned, there's an acknowledgement of the fact you guys have not played the way that you've wanted, but is there still a feeling about what this team is and could potentially be, and how has your psyche kind of been affected by the last few weeks?
I mean, whatever we did in the past, that happened already. You know, it's been a long stretch where we haven't been playing our best baseball. At this point in the season, all you need to do is win. I mean, you can win on a walk-off base hit, you can win on a walk-off error, you can win in a blowout game. That's all that matters. You know, and tonight I feel like we did a good job of playing small baseball. You know, I mean, Bobby had that move him over guy. And I don't know what inning, but you know, 5-0 to right field, move him over. You know, we just gotta play really good baseball, man. We gotta be fundamentally sound if we want to get to the playoffs. You know, we're not the team that's waiting on that 3-run homer or that big grand slam. You know, we gotta kind of chip away, get on base, and do the little things. You know, those are the teams that's gonna win a lot of games.
It's been a frustrating time for this team. The Yankees have rolled off 8 wins in a row, 3 of those against the Red Sox midweek, and they have opened up a game and a half lead on the Red Sox for the top wild card spot. Red Sox right now are locked in a mathematical deadlock with the Oakland Athletics for the second wild card spot. I talked with Alex Verdugo about that. Doogie, obviously a lot of people are writing this team off at this point in time. Do you guys take, some solace in the process of proving, doubters wrong, whether it was at the beginning of the season where people said this team have any chance, or now when people are saying, the Red Sox are probably finished at this point?
Honestly, man, me personally, I don't care what people think, bro. Like, they want to count us out. They want to do whatever. It is what it is. You feel me? Like, we played good the first half, and everybody wants to try to jump on it, and then we struggle, and they want to jump off. It is what it is, bro. We're professionals. We got a job to handle out here, and we're gonna keep going about our business each and every day and try to win. And obviously, the stretch we've been on sucks. You know, we know it sucks. We want to get out of it, but this is a part of the game. And really, for me, dude, what outside people say, I really don't give a. You know, it's about what we feel in this clubhouse, what we feel like in between, like, you know, with each other, like how we're feeling, what we're trying to do to get better, what we're trying to, change to our team or what part of the game we're trying to add in again. So we're trying to find ways to make it, you know, fun again, make it exciting, make it, you know, where we're playing small ball or, you know, doing little things and helping to win games. And really, outside opinions don't matter to us, man. We're grinding, and, you know, we know we can play better, and, you know, we plan on it.
One of the best things, I assume, as well, is that the answers are all right there for you. With that starting rotation, you're going to put a good pitcher on the mound every day during the course of this year and give you guys a chance to win. And the offense has hit, and obviously will hit again. So that, you guys know who you are. And does that identity of faith, you know, stick through even difficult times?
Yeah, for sure. Just, you know, sometimes they're more difficult than others, and this has been a stretch just where, you know, it felt like we're just not firing on the same page. Our pitchers are going out there, they're freaking dominating, and then, you know, we're not putting up a run on the board for them. Or, you know, we go out there, we score 8 runs, 10 runs.
Or 20.
And, yeah, or 20, and, you know, we're still, our pitchers, you know, kind of give up a couple walks, maybe, you know, something, and a big inning happens, and it just, like, it crushes us. So right now we're just not firing on the same page. Like, that's the biggest thing. We just got to have, you know, the guys, the pitchers that come in here keep us in the game. Like, we got to do a better job just, you know, adding those 1, 2, 3 runs and giving a little lead, just giving a little something to feel better about. And, you know, everybody knows, everybody wants to do good. We all want it. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's like you're trying to do too much, adding a little bit of pressure, but we're going to get back there, man. I have faith in this group and these guys, and, you know, we're working our way out of it.
Yeah, last question is exactly that, and it's a tough one where you obviously want to have that sense of urgency and you'll perform in the moment, but you also don't want to try to do it all by yourself either. And that, a lot of times teams will fall into that basketball, obviously called hero ball type of a mentality where you're like, I got to get us out of this, or JD's like, I got to get ourselves out of this. How do you guard against trying to do too much? Do you feel like maybe when you guys haven't been scoring runs the way you want, there has been a little of that pressing?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest part is, like, try not to do too much, man. Everybody wants to score that run, and, like you said, be the hero and, you know, hit the 5-run homer. But, you know, nobody wants to go up there, grind up that bat and shoot the ball, you know, and just keep the line rolling. That's the thing. When this team is so good, we're not just hitting a long ball, man. We're shooting the holes, you know. We're letting the next guy up get an opportunity to, you know, to win, to get the guy in, to move him over, do something productive. And it feels like right now it's just like we're looking for that home run, we're looking for that, you know, that big play. And then after that, it's like, oh, we got our homer in the first, like, all right, we got to just hold it. Like, our pitchers need to throw zeros the whole time. It's like, no, like, we keep grinding, we keep, you know, working, trying to chip away, get another run, something like that. So We'll lock it in, man. We just got to, you know, be a little bit better and, you know, just execute on the bases and on the box, defensively, on, you know, on the mound. We just got to do everything together as a group.
Thanks, mate.
Yep, thank you.
Matt Barnes was given a couple days off after blowing 3 contests in which the Red Sox had chances to win. Barnes is a really good pitcher. Struck out the side of the 9th inning. Red Sox were up 6-0. Just wanted to get him some work on Friday night. But I talked with Barnes about the mental side of closing and now trying to find himself once again.
Joined by Red Sox closer Matt Barnes, and the impact of Chris Sale away from the field. Obviously, every 5 days or 6 days, whenever he's going to pitch, is obviously significant. But what is the impact of him on a day in, day out basis? How does he affect other people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a number of ways, right? Obviously, he's a leader in the clubhouse. He's a guy who's been around, obviously super successful and leads by example. But he's a really good teammate. He's a guy who knows how to win. He's a guy who's been successful. He brings the energy. He keeps everybody accountable. And he's a major part of this team. And, it was awesome to see him back out there yesterday.
Does it feel like the season changed with him coming back and Schwarber being in the lineup, where that things were obviously moving in a direction you guys didn't like? Was probably going to turn around anyway, but having those two guys come in and becoming your best version of yourselves now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, anytime you can get a guy like Chris Sale back in the team and out in the bump doing what he does best, right? I mean, it's going to help us win ball games. But it was awesome. I mean, we were out here yesterday and just it almost seemed like there was a different buzz around the stadium, different buzz in the dugout. I mean, everybody was just so excited for him. I mean, it's been a tough 2 years for him. And just to finally see all of it work out and him back out there looking like his normal self. was definitely awesome. And then obviously getting Schwarber back in the lineup, you know, after being out for whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks, what he was doing in was it the month of June, it was unbelievable. I mean, every day you turn on TV and Schwarber hit another homer, it was incredible. So getting another bat like that back in the lineup, I mean, it's definitely awesome. You know, you start getting some pieces, and we start, like you said, we get to the best version of ourselves and at full capacity. I mean, we're missing a couple pieces still, but hopefully those guys join us again soon, it's definitely exciting.
Yeah, there's certainly an it factor when Chris Sale takes the mound. Like, you can feel it in the ballpark. You can see it in him. Uh-huh. How does that rub off on guys as well, where when he takes the mound, there is such conviction in everything that he does, from going out for warm-ups to, you know, pitching during the game. Like, everything has that conviction.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, we're always trying to learn and trying to get better in this game. And just watching him and what he's gone through the last couple of years, I mean, it makes you, like, you can't take this game for granted, right? You can't take every day playing, you can't take it for granted. You got to enjoy it. Got to continue to work. And watching the way that he plays the game gets you more excited to play. It does. I mean, he's out there with everything on the line, every pitch, coming right after guys. And it does, man. It's exciting to watch.
What has this stretch been like for you as you've had some time to reflect and to think and to come back and find yourself again? What have been the key steps for you in this process?
The biggest thing for me was making sure that I started getting back to commanding a fastball glove side, right? I mean, that was one of the things that made me so good for the first 4 months was my ability just to drive a ball through glove side. And over the last couple outings, it's just every time I've tried to go glove side, it's leaked middle. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just taking a step back, working on some of the mechanical things, getting back into the right frame of mind and being ready to go. So, I mean, we didn't find anything too mechanically wrong. Part of it was just a big workload over 4 days, in which then you try to create too much and start getting inside of the baseball, and you get a little out of your mechanics, and you don't even realize it, which is the hard part. I was just telling Jamai, like, when you're warming up in the bullpen, I don't take anything that I do in the bullpen, not seriously, right. But to me, it's just getting loose, yeah. Right? Like, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever happens out there is literally just to get loose for this game. So by the time that you realize that that's happening, you're 4 or 5 pitches in. And that's a really difficult thing to try and change mid-inning, because if I start focusing on mechanics, then I lose sight of trying to get a batter out, mm-hmm. Right? So at that point, you have to try and go out there, and this is what I got today, and I'm going to try and make it work. But when everything starts leaking middle, it's obviously a little more difficult to get out. So feeling good to go, feeling rested. They did a really good job of giving me a couple of days, which is awesome. So I feel really good. Been working on staying through the baseball and getting back to glove side.
Listening to you post-game on the Zooms, you don't struggle with accountability and you don't struggle with conviction and moving on. And all the great closers of the past have talked about that, where you have to be accountable initially, you have to have a short memory afterwards, but then you have to have the conviction to go back and do what you do, because there's a reason that you're in the position you're in. Have you found any wavering in that sense, or have you been, you know, going through this process, be like, I'm still me, and there's not really any reason for me to deviate, but I do need to adjust?
Yeah, I think the hardest part for me would be if I was looking at the film or looking at the games and I was like, man, I feel like my stuff's really good, or I feel like I'm doing this exceptionally well and I'm just getting beat. But for me, it's easy to look at it and be like, okay, this is the problem, right? First, you have to assess what the problem is. And once I can understand what the problem is, then I can fix it. I mean, it's something as simple as locating a fastball away. Well, then it's easy to work on, right? But, I mean, that's the nature of the business, right? When we lose a game because of me, I mean, it just, there's a lot of pressure throwing in the ninth inning. And being accountable is the only way. I mean, listen, people are going to say that you suck or you're bad or you're whatever. And, I mean, nobody can really say anything if I come out and flat say, listen, I was bad today or I suck today. Like, it just is what it is, right? I mean, we're not going to be perfect for 70 games or whatever we pitch in, right? I sit there and I look at the product of the work, right? If I've got, and I don't know how many games I've got, but if I've got 45 games, I feel like I've been pretty damn good for 43 of them or 42 of them, right? And if I look back and I take those odds, I mean, it's 95% of the time I've been pretty good. Even if it was a blown save, right? Like, I gave up a solo shot to Andrus in Oakland, I still feel like I was pretty good for that game, right? It was one guy who got a hit and everybody else got retired, right? So it's easy for me to look at it and be like, okay, this is the problem. I don't need to change everything that I'm doing because I had a couple of bad outings, right? I look at the greater work and the greater product over 4.5 months as opposed to 2 games in which I threw 4 games in 4 days and start being kind of dramatic and trying to change everything that I'm doing.
And let's be honest, you were not knocked around in those outings. You gave up home runs. You didn't, you know, lose your control. You didn't lose your conviction. Like, you gave up home runs to solid players, which is something that's going to happen from time to time. Have you leaned on, you know, any players of the past in, you know, transitioning into this role as closer? Because as you mentioned, closer is a very unique position. I can think of only a goaltender in hockey and a place kicker in football and closers as being those who go out and do their job, and there is no accolade for that. You are just done what you're supposed to do. Yep. But if you fail, you're continually accountable. If a goaltender makes all the saves, nobody wants to talk to him. But if they let in a couple goals and that change, they want to, people want to talk to you. So how does that weigh on you mentally? And have you, you know, reached out to any of the players in the past? You've mentioned Craig, in, who you've spoken with.
Yeah, so I think I haven't reached out to any of them leading up to this year or even over the last month or any part this season. I mean, I've talked to Craig multiple times this year, not about that. But it's – I was fortunate enough to watch Craig do it for long enough here where I kind of understand what it takes. And I think one of the hardest parts – I mean, this is a difficult market to play in, right? I mean, the fans are incredible, but they demand success. And as they should, right? This is a team in a city that wants to win championships. And when we don't, they hold us accountable, which is absolutely how it should be, right? But I think just having played in this market for 7 or 8 years now, I understand it, and I understand what that takes, and I understand how to handle failure. I mean, listen, I've had terrible stretches in my career, and I've had really, really good stretches in my career, right? So I've had to deal with it a little bit in the past. And it's just, it's about knowing who you are and knowing what you've done and knowing what you're capable of doing. And continuing to focus on that.
Matt, thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Rangers are in this weekend. That means the return of Brock Holt. I talked with the Red Sox Colt hero and World Series champion from 2018.
Joe, my former Red Sox, Brock Holt, and you've been back before, but coming back this time with fans, what does that mean to you, and what are the kind of the memories that come to you when you come into the ballpark? Because it feels like you want to touch everybody, see everybody, all the people you got to know during your time here.
Yeah, it's been cool so far. You know, obviously coming into the stadium and walking in, seeing security, seeing, you know, clubbies and, you know, all the people behind the scenes that you build relationships throughout the year. And then obviously the guys still here, the staff still here. It's been cool, man. This one's been marked on my calendar for a while, and I'm glad it's finally here, and I'm pumped to be back.
What are some of the memories that come to you? Like you mentioned, it's not necessarily the baseball memories, because you have a lot of those, but it's the people. Like, you've made relationships, whether it's with the Jimmy Fund, whether it's behind the scenes. It seems like those are the types of things that perhaps mean a little more to you even than the baseball stuff, which I know means a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously been able to be a part of really good teams here and win a World Series in 18 and be a part of one in 13 as well. And I mean, this is where I've spent most of my career. You know, I got married playing for the Red Sox. We had 2 kids playing for the Red Sox. Griff only knows Boston. You know, it's special, man. Like, that's, you know, obviously baseball is what it is, but you're in one place for so long, you get to know people and build relationships with people, and that's been the best part for me. Is, you know, I still keeping in contact with a lot of people who I met while playing here, and some of those relationships I built with people behind the scenes in the Red Sox organization and with the Jimmy Fund and all that. So I think that's why I'm most excited to be back, is just to see some of those people I haven't seen in a while, and you know, just you catch up.
When you look back at your time here, you know, obviously it was difficult at times to move around as much as you did, and you had a kind of a selfless aspect of how you approached the game and were a leader behind the scenes. Does it make it more worthwhile, the sacrifices that you made, when you see how much the fans appreciate? You know, I hear still to this day about the, you know, the cycle game at Yankee Stadium at Fenway Park. I assume at Yankee Stadium, and then you didn't play the next day. And that's the type of attitude that you had, the type of team that was.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to be part of a winning organization, of a winning team, you have to have guys who understand their roles. And obviously you have the superstars. You know, we had Mookie, we had JD, we had Sale, I mean, the list goes on and on, Bogey. But you got to have the guys who know their roles, and we had those guys too. And I mean, that's just something that I enjoy doing. I love being on the Red Sox and being a part of this organization and on that team, those teams, and whatever was asked of me is, you know, what I wanted to be able to do and help out however I could.
Final thing is on a couple of those 2018 moments, and to me, the Game 4 World Series performance will always kind of stand out after that marathon Game 3 and Nate's performance and that. The way you guys responded in that game, and of course, you had a big performance in Game 5 as well. Those were the two biggest games, but were there other games throughout the course of that season or that run that stand out more, or those two the biggest games when you think about that 18 championship run?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole season was special. You know, that's the most, you know, special group of guys that I've been a part of, and you know, I don't think, you know, any of us will ever accomplish some of those things that we were able to do that year as far as winning baseball games and being a part of that good of a team. I mean, I can't think of any right off the top of my head, but I mean, you mentioned the Game 4 coming back down 4-0 or 4-1, whatever it might be, and Mitch coming in and hit a pinch hit home run, and then tacking on some late, and you know, just that's the kind of team that we were. There wasn't one guy; it was, you know, someone always stepped up and got the big hit or made the big pitch or the big play, and that's, you know, that's why we were able to do what we were able to do and win as many games as we were.
And that seems to stand out about championship teams, because you think about, you know, the horses and the superstars, the Hall of Famers, but championship teams very often come down to the Steve Pierces, the Brock Holtz, the Mitch Moreland's. Even Rafi in that series obviously was great late, and he wasn't the Rafi of today at that point in time. But those guys seem to be the ones that win championships more often than not, is the guys who find a way in those series.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of them. I mean, Eduardo Nunez, you know, had a big pinch hit, 3-run home run in Game 1. You know, so guys stepped up, and and that's, I mean, that's what you have to have. You have to have a bunch of guys who are kind of pulling on, it's cliche, but are all pulling on the same rope, and that's what we were doing. We all rooted for each other, and we all believed in each other, and if someone didn't get the job done, the next man was gonna get it done, and we believed that. If we lost the night before, we'd come to the field, we'd expect to win. If we win, we'd come to the field the next day and expect to do it again. And like I said, it was one of the most special group of men that I've been able to be a part of, and I'm thankful that I got to be a part of it.
Thanks, Brock. Welcome home.
Yeah, thank you.
Press Pass. I am Chris Ryan. Great opportunity this past weekend to talk to one of the best players in baseball, and one that you may not have heard of, Cedric Mullins, leading the AL in hits, batting average around .320. It's dropped a little bit since he was at Fenway Park, and he continues to impress the way he plays the outfield as well. He's a guy I think is going to be a star for years to come. He is languishing, though, on the lowly Baltimore Orioles, and by languishing, I certainly mean languishing, as the Orioles have been losing game after game after game, and that losing streak now sits at a somewhat embarrassing, to say the least, 16 games in a row. Here is my conversation with Cedric Mullins.
Joined by Cedric Mullins, one of the most exciting players in baseball. And Cedric, looking at your stat line, there's so many different impressive aspects. For you, though, which stands out to you as being the most significant statistic in the way that you've contributed this year?
I think one of the bigger things that I was trying to focus on was my on-base percentage, and it's always been relatively around average, .315 to .320, and just trying to figure out how I can, you know, find a way to get on base more. And, you know, of course, getting more hits definitely helps, but, you know, I feel like I'm finding ways to walk more, and, you know, that can create trouble for other teams.
Leading the big leagues in hits, when a team is not doing well, does it make it more difficult for you to have the type of consistency that you've had? How does that kind of play, the team dynamic versus your individual dynamic?
You know, and I think most people think that we have a negative attitude, you know, in and out of the season, but, you know, we're constantly coming back and trying to play our hardest to get wins, and because of that positive attitude, that energy, you know, flows through me as well. I'm able to go out there and, you know, perform the best of my ability.
want to ask you a little bit about the stolen base side of things, where we have seen that fall off by the wayside in baseball. How do you think about the stolen base, the impact that you can have in stealing bases? And is that an area where you're looking to grow, or do you like where you're at?
Yeah, every area I can continue to grow in, and stolen bases is no different. Now I feel like I have potential to have more than where I'm at now, and it's just a matter of continuing to learn, continuing to adjust to the guys that are out there, and you know, watching video and stuff like that. I do that every day before making a start, and you know, just always trying to figure something out.
What do you think is the potential there? I mean, do you think we'll ever see guys go back to stealing 50-plus bases a year? There's obviously the Ricky Henderson numbers, which appear to be almost unobtainable moving forward, but who knows with how the game changes. What do you think is kind of the future of stolen bases, and do you think if you're able to establish yourself as a stolen base guy that maybe we'll see other guys do that?
Yeah, I feel like stuff always comes back around, and you know, having speed in your lineup is no different. It can play a powerful role in terms of games. Just the other day, I had an opportunity to potentially steal a bag. You know, didn't go my way, so I held where I was at, and then Mancini was behind me, and ended up getting a base hit up the middle that I would have scored on, versus me just getting first to third.
How about your outfield play as well? Because it seems like you impact the game in just about every single aspect. Is that your approach, and has that always been something that's been consistent with you and how you've wanted to impact the game?
Yeah, I put a lot of pride into my defense, and you know, that the fact that I've always had that, I knew that I could put a little more focus on how to improve in my offense, and you know, to be able to keep that balance is, you know, something that you need in today's game.
Have you noticed opposing pitchers making adaptations to you at this point, and how do you go about trying to make those adaptations if you become a star player?
Yeah, it's just, you know, playing chess out there. I in some moments, they might be more aggressive with their off-speed pitches early in counts, and I have to make that adjustment by picking one that I can handle and, you know, see what I can do with it. And other times, they're trying to, you know, work both sides of the plate. And, you know, it's just a constant battle between me and the opposing pitcher.
Cedric Mullins right there. Garrett Richards and Martin Perez have been vanquished to the bullpen, but they have been pretty good since moving out there. I talked with Martin Perez about adjusting to that role, and something that is certainly viewed by most as being a demotion.
Red Sox pitcher Martin Perez, the return of Chris Sale. What does that mean for you guys collectively as a pitching staff, as a team? What type of a boost does it give you?
A lot. I think especially because he's one of our leaders. He's for me, he's one of the best pitchers in the league. He's been around for a long time, and I have a chance to see Chris for a couple of years, you know, pitching, and he's amazing. He have a deal when he go to the mound, and he know how to get people out. He know the sequences. He know everything. So for us, it's a lot because we've been struggling for a little bit, and I think he's gonna help us, and our confidence is gonna back. So. We just need to stay healthy and stay together. I mean, that's it.
How does his competitiveness and his conviction rub off on pitchers? Where he, you know, he throws with conviction, and obviously with his stuff, it's obviously easy to do that, quote unquote. But how does that rub off on guys?
A lot, man. You know, especially from the process that he went through. You know, Tommy John, I was there too. And it's not easy, you know. He was out for 2 years. I think yesterday was the day that he blew up. And, have a chance to see him perform today for us and give you a chance to all to win is a lot for us. So that's why I always say we just need to control what we can control and stay strong. I think mentally we're strong, and we're going to be fine. So it's going to be a special day for us today.
Obviously, you want to be a starter, and that is your desire. But when that is not taking place, from a professional standpoint, how do you, handle that, or perhaps use that as motivation to get back in the rotation to allow for you to help, the team to win right now?
You know, I think the motivation that I have right now is that I have a chance to come here and get people out, and I can't control that, so I just focus in what I need to do and control what I can control, any decision that they make up there from the front office, It's not my problem. I just need to do what they told me to do, and now I have a chance to go to the you know bullpen and come for one inning or two and you know get people out and then get zero for my team. So that's my focus right now. So I'm still in Big League and I'm still with the Red Sox. So you feel my job is now to go out there and get people out. That's what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna give 100% every day.
Has that transition been difficult at all, or have you been able to figure out a niche to feel comfortable?
I think, you know, you got to be ready for everything, man. And, you know, I've been in the league for 9 years, and I know how things work here, how things come and go on. And you know, the way that I've been pitching for my last month and a half was not good, and I understand the decision that they make. And, you know, like I say, if I come from the bullpen and I have the ball in my hand, I'm going to do my best for my team.
The final thing is, do you simplify things? Because generally, you know, relief pitchers will break it down to a couple pitches. Do you break it down to fastball change, or do you look at it and say, I'm just going to continue to approach the game the way I did, even if I don't have to set up pitches for later?
Yeah, no. I think every time when you go out there to the mound, it's about feeling how you feel with one pitch, and if you feel good with that pitch and that pitch moving where you want it, or you throw the ball where you want it and you got good feeling, that's the pitch that you have to use more in the game. So in the bullpen, you can see it right away. I mean, okay, I got good feeling with my cutter today, my fastball. That's those two pitches that I'm going to use, you know, early in the count, and later I can go with my change or with my breaking ball. So it depends how you feel that day with your pitches. But, you know, especially late in the game, it's hard to use, you know, four or five pitches. So just trying to get people out quick.
That's Martin Perez. This is the Press Pass. I'm Chris Ryan.